All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
All right, hey, what's up, guys? It's Luis from Koenig Wheels.
It's Max from Koenig Wheels. What's up, guys?
And thank you for joining us on another beautiful Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. This one's going to be a cool short one. We actually just wanted to give you guys an update on what's going on here in the office, as well as last week we were at Formula Drift New Jersey. Max capturing some of the illest content that we will be releasing very, very soon.
Great time.
Actually, even releasing something this Friday, which
That's right.
Car walk around with one of our prospect drivers, our boy
Casey Cole. Casey,
yeah, man.
Oh man, Casey, if you're watching this, that had such a great time. Thank you so much for taking the time out. All of our drivers, we did so much content this weekend in Old Bridge Township, and yeah, we did got a bunch of walk arounds, bunch of car tours, bunch of toolbox tours. So we got a bunch of stuff, and this was actually my first time at like a Formula Drift event at all, or actually even a competitive drifting event. So I had a great time, and now I'm, as Luis knows, I've been kind of you know, checking out history of Formula Drift and just watching drivers and past events, and it's a great time. So Casey Cole, look out for that on Friday. It's gonna be probably one of my favorite walk arounds we've done so far, just because that guy is a scientist, like mad scientist. Every little piece, every part, every weld was all done by Casey, and you could tell it really shines through in like the way how passionate he is about the build, and how knowledgeable he is about every specific part and why he chose that part. Like there was this one bit in the video where he talks about he came up with this what's called a swirl pot, and it's two metal cylindrical tubes basically that separate by swirling the I think it's fuel. To swirling it in one pot to separate the fuel from the air bubbles, so the air bubbles siphon off into the other pot and then get disposed of while the fuel goes in, no air bubbles. And he was pretty proud to talk about that one, which was pretty cool. I'm standing behind the camera filming just laughing because, like, you know, you can tell he's, me and him, I'm pretty nerdy as well. So not to say, Casey, you're nerdy, but a little nerdy.
Well, meaning in a sense, like, you know, that man is a mad scientist.
Mad scientist.
I mean, he's the one that literally builds Dan Stuckey's car, down to helping out Savannah Little,
Nick Stanford.
You know, he even helped Derek Madison. He's the one that's kind of putting these cars and helping these guys put together. So it's exciting to have someone like him, like Casey, jump on the car walk around, because you're going to get an extensive walk around. So make sure to tune in this Friday.
Owner of M-Spec Performance.
M-Spec Performance.
Way, yep.
Those boys did work this weekend. And I'm excited
they
to
did.
Have him on our car walk around.
It was great. If anyone was at Formula Drift
YouTube
on
channel.
Saturday, yeah. You probably came by and either met me or Doubt. And man, me and Doubt stayed until pretty late on Saturday and got to see Dan just killing it. I think Dan made it all the way to top eight, if I'm remembering correctly. And then he had a little fender bender, but. Man, Dan, so cool to see you out there late in the rounds there. It was really great. I think all of our guys did great, including Casey. I think Casey also qualified ninth. So, yeah, it was a great time by the Koenig Wheels team. Great performance by M-Spec and everyone there. It was an awesome time. I definitely, when we came back, I'm like, okay, what's the next Formula Drift event? St. Louis? Ooh, I've never been to Missouri. Maybe I could swing it. I don't know. I don't know what else is in Missouri other than Formula Drift St. Louis, but
yeah, man, and mind you, I was there Thursday and Friday only. I couldn't see the event, but I did get to kind of check out some highlights on what was going on, and obviously we're all excited here for our boy Travis Reeder, who got the W, got the carbon this event, and honestly, it's exciting to see the growth of Travis Reeder, because I remember meeting him when we first started off with him, and
nice.
Kind of can see, like, how he's gone from now to being where he is. You know, for example, before he jumped up because he got a Rookie of the Year.
That's right.
He finished second.
Was that 2017 or 2018?
Yeah, something around
so
there.
So he's been in – he got Rookie of the Year. That was like 4 years ago. So first win – Formula Drift, 4 years. That's pretty solid.
I'm telling you, man, the man is one of those as well mad scientists in a sense. Like he's constantly growing, mm-hmm. constantly getting better, and yeah, that was exciting. Even down to seeing him in top 16 go against one of our boys, Nick Novak.
Oh man, that was a good one.
And seeing them do OMT. Because, you know, these drivers are putting their heart and soul into it, and you know. Nick Novak, you know, basically he's one of my favorite drivers right now. And the reason why I like him so much is because he's the same way as Travis. He's putting in the work that he needs to get himself, further in this competition. But sure. Like anything, it takes time. It takes work. And every year these boys get better. And seeing them go against each other and seeing how very, like, similar the way they kind of work together and very close that battle was. You know, obviously Travis is coming out with it at the end and being the champion of the whole event, mm-hmm. you know, but it was just really dope to see that them, Stuckey doing his work, you know, as well as Taylor and what's our boy?
Derek Madison.
Not Derek Madison.
Well, Derek, you killed it too.
Derek Madison is pro spec. I'm talking about Robbins, Alec Robbins.
Oh, Alec, right.
Doing some work as well. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just dope, man. It's dope to kind of see all our boys doing the work, doing what they do best, and then having one of them podium at the end is just
well said.
Exciting for us,
well
man.
Well said. You know what's interesting is I feel like a lot of the guys, regardless of their team or what car they're driving, they're all pretty similar in that they just enjoy cars and motorsports and racing, and, like, that's just their passion. They all have, like, full-time jobs, it seems like.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they just kind of... Because I was curious when I was there. I'm, like, kind of curious as, you know, I looked up, like, what some of these Formula Drift drivers are making, and it's not a lot at all. So a lot of these guys are there because they just enjoy doing this. They just enjoy the sport, and they enjoy building something over time with their team. And yeah, it's cool to see someone like Travis over a span of only 4 years go from Rookie of the Year to now winning, bringing home the carbon, right? And that was really cool. I got to meet Travis a couple times. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do a walk around because one thing about Travis this weekend is he was locked in. Like,
yeah,
mentally,
yeah, yeah.
Every time I went over there, he was, like, locked in. And it shows. Look at the end of the weekend. But, yeah, it was a great time. You know, you spoke about one more time. One of my favorite things about Formula Drift that I had no idea about because this is my first time actually attending was the competitive timeouts. And so specifically I'm talking about when when Frederick Osbo was in the, I think, the quarterfinals, top 8, top 16, he had an issue with his car where he's going out
to the
track.
I saw that.
It, like, the battery died, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking out there. I'm like, I'm curious. I'm like, 'cause this is at this point of the weekend, I'm not really sure what happens. Right? Do they go to the pits? Do they get time? So they get this competitive timeout, 10 minutes. There's an official standing there with a timer, 10-minute countdown. And I had known about Stefan Papadakis just because of YouTube, and he's a legend. And good old Stefan Papadakis coming up. Once he touches the Supra, the timer starts. The man touched the Supra, timer starts. And then literally with 3-4 seconds left to get it started, Frederick Osbo on the track. And it was cool to see the crowd reaction, and you know, when they start it up and he gets out, the crowd goes wild, and Stefan Papadakis, the legend, just fixed the car in front of everybody, pressure's on. It was sick.
And I think it's one of those things, like, you know, and hearing through Scott and through the grapevine, and then going back and watching tape again and mm-hmm. seeing that it was restarted by the golf cart.
Yeah, the golf cart.
Like, that's you know, when you get someone like Stefan Papadakis who's been doing this for mm-hmm. the amount of time that he's doing, he's you know, a mad scientist himself. He kind of was the one that had to make that call, and he made it, and it worked.
So what Luis is mentioning here is anyone that didn't watch the event, go check it out, because this was exhilarating.
A fun one, yeah.
When that happened, they were like, okay, well, there's probably, I think it was three or four minutes left on the countdown. It's like, we need to jump the battery. It's a battery issue. And so one of the guys, like, is heading back to the pits, like, sprinting to go get a battery, a mobile jump unit or whatever. Stefan's like, no, let's just use the golf cart that he drove to jump. And they use the golf, and it's That's awesome. That was really cool to see. You know what I liked is that you could feel that in the crowd, all of the spectators, they're all car people, right? Mm-hmm. So when they're watching this, it's a whole other element to not just motorsports, but the mechanics behind, the engineering behind it all, and understand it. It was just really neat. So like that one right there, that element really kind of brought me into the sport, because it's not just about drifting or racing or a lot of smoke and a lot of noise. It's also, you know, different elements to it. So yeah, it was a great event. I got to do it again.
And even we were just, you know, watching the final battle again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've mentioned this to Scott. I think I've mentioned it to you, Max. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Rome Charpentier. I think the man is doing work. I think he's, the last couple events, he's always kind of very competitive. You know, not kind of. He is very competitive against the other players, the other drivers. And it was exciting to see him at the end against Travis Reeder, and then seeing what happened, and, you know, with the car and the community kind of coming in and helping him out and getting him back on the track, and then seeing the outcome. Honestly, it's very dope. I think that's what you're saying at the end of the day, seeing the engineering and being able to kind of see it happen in real time as fans and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, man. Even down to, like, for example, our boy, what's his name? Hearst, his car went down, and then a bunch of the community helped him push it back to, you know, obviously he wasn't able to continue on. But as a community kind of being there, mm-hmm. and being able to just be in touch with the drivers and work with the drivers, and it's just dope, man. All the way, all around.
Ryan
dope
Turek,
event.
Is that what you're talking about?
No. Hearst.
Okay. Hayden Hearst.
No. It's Jonathan Hearst.
Oh, Jonathan. Yeah. It's almost like it seems like, obviously it's a heated competition, but it seems like all of the teams and the drivers, they all know each other. They're all friends.
Yeah.
So it's, they all just want to push each other to succeed, and they like I was watching Chelsea Denofa actually recently. I know Chelsea and Travis are good friends. And they had a clip, Formula Drift posted, of Chelsea watching Travis win. And it's stuff like that where Travis and Chelsea's been like a mentor to Travis the last couple of years, and seeing him win his first event, I think that's really neat. Especially after, you know, competing side by side, literally tandem. I think Formula Drift is neat. So as someone who's new to the sport but have seen a lot of other motorsports, a lot of different types of sports, shooting with my camera stuff, this is a growing sport, and I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years it's one of the, I wouldn't say top motorsports out there, but it's going to be up there for sure. The way they're covering with the media, the YouTube lives, and it's exciting. Yeah,
and like I got to speak with Joyce, and kind of just which is the event coordinator for Formula Drift, just asking her, you know, the attendance. It was 18,000 people showed up.
Nice,
which is amazing. You know what I mean? This is a growing sport, and we're excited to be a part of it. And yeah, man, just so you know, it was an all around good event, you know, and I'm excited to see more of it.
Oh man, I wiped down my camera gear when I came back. The towel was black, dude. Because the amount of smoke at these events coming from tire smoke, it's you kind of have to turn around and like cover yourself once that cloud comes for you, because it's like the mist. You ever see the mist?
Yeah.
It's like the cloud.
I actually have like a video of myself walking, and it's just, you see it, and it's just. It looks cool, but then when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, "Oh,
dude." Speaking of looking cool,
coughing.
Okay, so like from a, you'd be surprised. Actually, the next day I was expecting to be coughing up black stuff, but no. Just the camera. But speaking of looks, I've seen a lot of good sunsets, but the sunsets this weekend, and I would think at any Formula Drift event, incredible, because the amount of smoke, if you don't have any wind in on that day, the amount of smoke that gets just trapped in the area and the miles radius around the event, it makes it so hazy. And then when that sunset comes in, man, I got some, it's just, everything's gold. It was incredible. It really makes for an atmosphere that picturesque. I need to go back. Gotta go back. So now I'm already like figuring out, okay, whether it's with Koenig or not, we got to figure out how to get back there as a fan, just because that was a great time. But yeah.
And one of the things that I appreciated about the most about the event is, because unfortunately we weren't able to watch a lot of the event, the actual event, live, because we were there. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were in a booth, and we had our new wheels in display, and the feedback that we got on our new wheels, even, you know, the rest of our line as well, but the new wheels itself, you guys were really awesome telling us what you liked, you know, what you're looking for and stuff like that. And honestly, I was very excited for that part in its own right, because a lot of people really like the Neo Form. A lot of good feedback on the Heliogram as well. And, you know, you guys are awesome. You know, and hopefully those get released very soon. Hopefully by the end, at least sometime in July, we'll have some sizes ready to go for you guys. But the feedback that we received on all those on our new wheels is really made it worth it for us, for sure.
Big time. Yeah, we brought out the Heliogram in both finishes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then we didn't bring out the Diverge, but the Diverge is, I feel like, is like a hidden one of our hidden weapons for this year, because while it's not flow formed, yep. it is sexy.
It is sexy. Yeah,
if
sure.
you like a black wheel, if you like a glossy wheel, check out the Diverge. I don't want to like be too selly, but yeah, those three wheels that are coming out this year, we had them on display, two of them this past weekend, and yeah, they're looking really nice. Specifically, my favorite is that titanium metallic Heliogram. Just the way that finish pops. I think that's going to look so good on, like, Nick Novak's. Speaking of Nick Novak, though, the white Hexaform.
Yeah, that'll
so
be
when's
soon.
When's that coming out?
That'll be available very soon, too. Same around the similar time as well, you know. But, yeah.
Is it going to have the same sizing, bolt pattern options as the regular
A little
Hexaform?
Bit less sizes, you know, just because, you know, we're trying to test the water, see how you guys react to the wheel. We've made a lot of the more popular fitments, which I'll have available for you guys up soon on our website as well. But yeah, you'll check that
does
out.
Does Taylor Hall run the Hexaform as well? I think
Taylor Hall does run the Hexaforms in the black finish. Yep,
that's
for
right.
The C6, yeah.
Oh man, big shout out to Taylor Hall and his wife. They were so nice, so welcoming. I could have definitely annoyed them for longer at their tent. I didn't want to stay in their tent too much, but yeah, they're great people. Actually, when I was there, I got a Taylor Hall. Actually, you know what? Hold on.
We could probably cut this part, and then you come back.
Taylor Hall Lean Customs pin from Formula
nice.
Drift. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Right?
I saw a few people with their backpacks covered in these type of pins,
yeah.
which it's a good idea. It's really cool,
idea.
Man. Yeah,
you know
man. It's memorabilia.
It's like Hot Wheels. Or
yeah,
Matchbox,
yeah.
But this guy, Lean Customs, this is a plug that I didn't mean to plug here, but you killed it with this one. I saw your he runs a little like a modified kind of golf cart truck that's lean cut. It was really
nice.
Neat. So shout out to you. Cool stuff. We would love to do some hypergrams or some countergrams, some of the wheels, but we'll chat.
But yeah, but that's one of the cool things that also, you know, people coming through to the booth is I got to speak to a lot of pro-am drifters and stuff like
that's
that
right.
and them asking about fitments and stuff like that and how we can work together and all that jazz. And one of the cool things about the new wheels that I think Scott and the team here, all of us, did a great job with is giving you guys more options with fitments. But back to the pro-am conversations, mm-hmm. I spoke to a lot of drifters and how we can work together. And I kind of wanted to get, you know, although we talk about this very often, you know, a lot of people ask us questions about sponsorships. And I know that we have content out there, but at the end of the day, we always like to give you more content and give you more details on how that
mm-hmm.
works, you know, because, you know, one of the things that we appreciate here are partnerships. You know, we do like to work
too.
That for sure, but we do like to work with the community and hoping that we can provide you guys with what you need and the tools that you need to get you further in your career. Because
yeah.
we all, like we said before, we're all car guys here, and we understand that support from the community is always needed, you know what I mean? So that's the reason why I kind of want to break down how sponsorship works for us specifically.
To be clear, what we're talking about specifically here is sponsorships for drivers, not specifically sponsors for street cars, because we've gone over that mm-hmm. In terms of the thousands of messages that we receive asking for sponsorship. Can you sponsor my set of wheels for my street car?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Keep sending those in with proper proposals. But what we're talking here is, are you in motorsports? You're building your career. You have aspirations for the future. You want to keep building. and you want a long-term partner, a wheel partner to grow with, that's kind of who we're talking to right now.
Yeah, no. So, i.e., for example, like I was just speaking to someone in the booth and, you know, basically they were asking me questions on how that works and whatnot. And one of the things that I try to look for when it comes to, first off, having a proposal is very important. Obviously, you know, we talk about this all the time, meaning, for example, like what a proposal does very differently than, let's say, you emailing or trying to make an introduction or coming to shake our hands is kind of showing the value of what you're willing to bring to the table when it comes to this partnership. Because obviously what we bring to the table is transparent. You know, we're a wheel company. That's what we offer. You know, so now from your end, you being a presenting yourself as a brand, what do you offer so that this partnership goes 50-50 hand in hand, right?
Well, furthermore, not that, of course, it definitely 100% outlines that and exemplifies that. But furthermore, also, it tells us that you took the time to think about, okay, here's what I, like you said, can offer. Here's what I am on paper. So that if I'm pitching to somebody that I don't know, that doesn't know me, let's say in that scenario, here's who I am, right? You don't need to go figure out. You don't need to go search more. Here's exactly what I can offer. Here's what I bring to the table. Look, the proposal is well organized, thought through. Boom. Because just that, just the fact that there's a proposal in the first place doesn't need to be over the top with graphics or look really professional. Just the fact that you put thought into an effort of what you're actually providing or in this, I don't want to say transaction, but in this relationship, it takes, you know, separates you from a sea of other people. And those people are the ones that are literally just sending out a message saying, hey, sponsorship. And so that's how you kind of really, that's the first step, at least, in differentiating yourself from that sea of fish. You know what I mean? Because let's be honest, we've been around for a long time. We get a lot of sponsorship requests.
Yeah.
So if you want to make it past that first net, proposal.
Yes.
Proposal.
Said it bet. He said it great. Yeah. So proposal is basically what we're saying here is a proposal is an introduction. After that, you know, that's when we get to assess our relationship. We obviously whatever the proposal. Let's say you do get sponsored from that point on. You know, one of the great questions that someone asked me because I you know, we gave them a partial sponsorship. They asked a question. I would love to start with the partial sponsorship, but does that mean that we can grow into maybe a full sponsorship in the future?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
That's the point of how we start. At the end of the day, you know, we don't know each other, you know, but all we know is what you gave us on paper. The point of us continuing the relationship is to get to know each other so that now we know, okay, this partnership is working. This partnership is growing more. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Maybe 1 year, maybe whatever it may be down the line, it obviously gives us both confidence that this relationship is working symbiotically, and now we can offer you product in a full sponsorship or whatever it may be, you know, because that's the point of people don't understand that relationships when it comes to these type of things are very important. You know, it shows the brand that we're doing well. It shows that you know, whatever it may be, we're all working properly, and that just pushes us further wherever we want to go with this career that you have and our brand as well. You know,
what's worth noting actually as well is that we're not looking for someone who's winning all the time either. We just, you know, we want someone who's passionate, who's racing consistently, who wants to build a career in motorsports. We don't care if your record for the last year doesn't have any wins on it. That's the last of our concerns, right? So you look at someone like Travis, and I don't want to like toot our own horn, but you know, Travis has been on our wheels since his first season in FD, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And now 4 years later, you look at the progression, and it's just nice to, from our end, to be able to work with someone over a span of 4 or 5 years and see them grow and grow and grow. And now they're at, I don't want to say his peak, but he just won a championship, right? So I think it's really neat to see that. And from Travis's perspective, I'm sure you can agree, is that from our end, all we've done is, you know, try to support, give our drivers and our sponsored teams whatever they need to succeed, to grow, and then eventually win. But yeah, so for sure, don't when you're submitting your proposals, when you're considering applying to a company for a sponsorship, you know, your track record in terms of competitive wins, doesn't really come into play with us. We're thinking more in terms of long-term longevity. Can we grow with this person? Can they grow with our brand, with representing our brand, with our wheels on their car? So, yeah, I mean, you think about so many. I think all the people that we've had relationships that I met this past weekend that I did media with, they've all been on our wheels for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's important to note. But, yeah, you know, it's just – it's we're not –
And I want to give you guys a perspective here. For example, like we have dinner with these guys. We hang out with them. Nick Novak, for example, he comes to the booth, just sits down with us and has conversations.
Nick's the man.
Meaning that's the thing that we're trying to look for. At the end of the day – let's not say that's what we're looking for. That's what I hope that you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that you're looking for a company that you could work with hands-on so that doesn't seem like it's just something that you guys can shut off the day, you know, the next day. You know what I mean? I've heard so many, you know, people tell us that, you know, they've worked with a company and they're non-responsive. They don't even know who they're working with. And then all of a sudden they disappear. You know, that sucks. You know what I mean? You don't want to work with a company that doesn't have, you know, that doesn't care. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it is with us. We care.
And meanwhile, this weekend we're at Formula Drift, and how many people came into the booth asking for Luis's autograph? It happens at least two or three times.
It's weird because, you know, with our 12 followers, it's one of our 12 followers and
so,
you know,
you two
well,
or
watchers.
Three out there watching, thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was kind of the gist of what I wanted to have the conversation about. You know, when it comes to sponsorship, make sure that you think of a good proposal. Make sure that you put thought into it in the initial introduction. And then after that, it's smooth sailing. I think all we're trying to do is make sure that you're serious. Let us know the events that you're going to talk about, you know, the, you know, social media and all that doesn't really matter as long as we see that you're you're interested and are in it. Are in this game for real.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing that a lot of people like. There's a lot of people who are in this for the wrong reasons sometimes, unfortunately.
And you look at all the drivers that we sponsor, the one shared characteristic that they all have is they're all just really passionate about drifting.
Dude.
Passionate about motorsports. Passionate about cars, right?
Yeah.
I can't think of any one of them that I've met that are in this to make money or in this for fame or because you're not really going to get too famous from Formula Drift. I'm not it, but at the same time, like they're all just there because they love to compete and they love to, you know, this is what they do on the weekends.
I.e. Casey Cole, man, like that guy's a, you know, the reason why I like working with that dude, we instantly got along, dude. And the reason why is because you see the passion in what he does, you know, and same thing with Dan, with Stuckey. Stuckey, if you see him, the way he is on that track is the way he is in real life. He's just full throttle, happy as hell to be there, you know, and just having a good time.
You know who I love?
Silly goose time.
Dan the man. They're all great. Hooman.
Hooman, another one as well. Kelsey. You know,
Kelsey
all these,
was great.
You know, you know, they're all there
all
just
great.
Because they love this stuff.
All
and I think that's the type of relationship you're looking for. And not only that, it makes you feel happy to go on track knowing that your sponsors support you, your sponsors are cheering you on.
Big time.
And that's what we do here, man.
I'll tell you one thing.
We're invested.
From this past weekend, I'm like getting back into, so like I had a whole sim rig like a couple months during quarantine, and then after quarantine got rid of it because like I don't use this enough to like warrant the price, right? So but now I'm like looking at sim rigs again. Like I'm all like Fanatec with like two things in my shopping cart. I'm like, should I pull the trigger on this? Oh, I might have to. I don't know. Just so I can bring the sim rig to our next event so that you guys can have like a little competitive draw to the tent, something like that. We can that way Luis isn't just waiting for people to come. He could be running laps on the Nürburgring.
but yeah, I think that's that kind of, you know, solid proposal, and then after that the relationship keeps going on. And make sure we've made pieces of content before where it goes more in depth that you're willing to look at on our YouTube channel. That's all available on there, that if you want more in depth information about sponsorships, you can look on there. But yeah, I think this is it. I think thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for for always supporting us. Thank you for stopping by the booth if you were at the event.
Yeah, that's another one. Thanks for everyone that came by the booth, because seeing you guys, talking to you guys online is, and then seeing you guys in person,
yeah,
it's two different things, you know, because, I mean, you guys come in person, you know our wheels, you're asking questions, you guys are fans of the company, like I was before I worked here for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's big ups. Thank you guys. We appreciate the support.
So, yeah, again, Friday, our piece of content is going to be on Casey Cole's 240SX that, you know, killed it today, this weekend. He was on top eight. Every Wednesday, we're here at 3 p.m. live, as well as Scott goes live an hour right before this, where he answers any questions that you want to ask him, down to where he bought his shirt to when is the next event. You ask him the question, he's going to answer.
Yeah, I got a fun fact of the day before we wrap up is that so Casey, going through his build, says this is an S14.9.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is an S14.9? An S14.9 is a S14 chassis with an S15 front and rear.
There you go.
I'm like, oh, okay. So, fun facts of the week from Koenig Wheels, brought to you.
Thank you so much for being here with
Cheers,
us guys. And you have a good one. Peace.
Have a good Wheel Wednesday.